important technical announcement. We want to thank the Sperling, Sam and Hadassah, for sponsoring in honor of a very significant birthday of Sam's mother. She should have many more significant birthdays, and you should always sponsor children for us. That's a double bracha. Furthermore, I want to mention a technical note. There is no shir next week. I will be out of town. But Imirta Hashem, we will be on the week after, which is, I believe, still June. Still June the week after, or is that already July? Okay, well, can't be July? Can't be June?
2 weeks is July 4th.
Ah, okay, so
July 3rd.
I assume we'll have at least one more shir before summer break, but stay tuned. Anyway, okay. At the end of Parsha Shlach, which of course is famous because of the main storyline of the Meraglim, at the end of Parsha Shlach, in Perek Tesvav, we have a very enigmatic and important story. Torah tells us while they were in the desert, Yimsu Ish Mekoshesh Eitzim B'Yom HaShabbos. There was a man who was Mekoshesh Eitzim. It's not even clear exactly what that means. Presumably it means gathered. As you may know, there's a three-way machlokas. What was the actual malacha that he did? Some say tole, she was lifting the trees from their root source, which is itself a malacha. Some say ma'amer, he was gathering them, the branches, and then others say he was carrying them. Ma'amer, dalet amos, which was a rabbin. Is there enough gemina between which reason? Perhaps, maybe, we'll see one. Maybe. But we have an anonymous person. There's some who say this was salafchad. Of course, the Torah itself doesn't tell us. And he was mekoshesh eitzim b'yom Shabbos. So apparently, they knew it was wrong. Because how do we know that they knew it was wrong? Because of the next pasuk. V'yakrivu oso, motzim oso, mekoshesh eitzim el Moshe v'el Aaron. Right? If they didn't think there was anything wrong with it, they would have just said shalom aleichem and left him on his way. But they had a feeling that they knew something was wrong, so they grabbed him, and they brought him to Moshe and Aaron v'el kol Eda, and the other zekanim. V'enichos oba mishpar, they left him in jail. Kilo Poresh Mayasalo. They didn't know what to do with him. Yomar Hashem, Hashem responds and tells Moshe, Mos Yumas Ish, he dies, Ragom Osoba Avanim, you should stone him, Kol Ha'eda Michutz L'machane. End of the story. So Pasuk, the next, one more Pasuk, Vayotziu, Oso Kol Ha'eda, Tzataka, they did it, they took him out, El Michutz L'machane, V'yirgmu Osoba Avanim, V'yamos, Kashetzi V'Hashemos Moshe, and they stoned him to death, exactly as there had been a command. End of the Pasuk, and then without, much as a blip, or a pause, the Torah finishes off the Parsha with Tzitzis. Just in case you're curious what came before this, the answer is nothing with any obvious connection. The Mecharef and the Megadef, the idea of Avodah Zarah, of not accepting Hashem. Also, Nichrasa Nefeshahi. Next comes our Pasuk. That's the strange and enigmatic end of Parshas Shalach. So Rashi, and our Parsha, points out the following. When it says, Ki lo farosh mayaselo, they didn't know what to do with them, it doesn't mean they had no idea what to do with them. Says Rashi, lo hayu yodim be'ezo mi so yomus. They didn't know exactly which of the death penalties they should give him. But they knew that taka he was chayiv misa. Now this comes from a Gemara, it's a Sifrei in a Gemara, Masechta Avodah Zarah, Daf Ayin Chesamad Beis. And what I would like to do is to use this Gemara, this Rashi quotes, and the Mefarshim that emerge from this Gemara to focus on a very important lesson which we learn from this story of the Mekoshesh Eitzim, and that has to do with understanding the seriousness of the Aveira of Chilul Shabbos. Now, as an aside, there are Mefarshim who discuss both ancient and more recent about specific halachos, more specific, more nuances that we learn from the story. For example, Mefarshim point out, already from Rishonim, if they didn't know which of the death penalties they were giving him, so then they couldn't have given him hasras by saying, if you do this, you'll get a such and such a death penalty, which is generally what we assume hasra has to include. Otherwise, that's called hasra safek. So how do you relate this to that? Yeah, it's a whole discussion. Yeah, it's a whole discussion, a big discussion how this relates to Malacha Shein Tricha LaGufa, because there are even some Afarshim who say that he was only doing this to teach Klal Yisrael, he wasn't doing this, God forbid, to rebel. So on those type of side issues, Rav Asher Weiss has a whole piece in his Sefer on the Parsha. It's very nice, I read it, I enjoyed it, but I'm not going to discuss any of it. I have so much good Torah, I could just mention that to you, we won't even get to that. What do I want to build off of? I want to build off of Tosfos. There is an incredible Tosfos on Masechet Sanhedrin, on the Gemara, that, again, Rashi's quoting a sense in that Gemara, that what was the Safek? Moshe knew he'd get killed, he didn't know what death penalty. What's really Moshe's Safek? So you need Tosfos and other Mefarshim to spell it out. The Gemara in Sanhedrin, earlier on Daf Nun Beis, tells us that if you don't know otherwise, Stam Misa is Chenek. Right? Fine. However, says Tosfos, so you wonder, presumably you should have known. Give the guy a chenek. What's the suffix? Why doesn't he know? Rather, he says, say Tosfos, that Moshe was confused. Why was he confused or unsure? Because, perhaps, since we assume that Mechal Shabbos is Dino Ovid Avodah Zarah, it's as if the person was Ovid Avodah Zarah, and the punishment for Avodah Zarah is Skila. Therefore, maybe that was what he should get. And in fact, it's not just a maybe. Taka Hashem Paskin, Musab Oven, you give him stoning. So you want to know, says Tosfos, Taka, why do we stone Mechal Shabbos as opposed to other crimes where we give other death penalties? The answer is exactly that. This is the reason. It's not a, that Nakuda is not a Hilchos Shabbos Dekadin, apparently. It seems like, at least from Tosfos, it's a Hilchos Avodah Zarah Dekadin. We learn from Avodah Zarah, which is exactly Moshe's topic, he wasn't sure. And in fact, Hashem said, you know, Taka, you were thinking good. In fact, that's what's going to be the case. But there's some Gzer Shava comparison between Avodah Zarah and Chilul Shabbos. And that Gzer Shava, if you will, that comparison is really what I want to speak about. What does that mean? And there's different versions of this in different Mamari Chazal, Dino Ka'akum, Dino Ka'ovid Avodah Zarah. So obviously, the most basic question is why? And the second question, which is more important, is what are the ramifications of such a stark statement? You know, it's bad enough for you, Mechal Shabbos, but to say you're not a worshiper to boot, that's a serious, serious condemnation. So what I want to do is I want to start off with a few very interesting discussions that Mefarshim have that really revolve or emerge directly out of the story of the Mekoshesh. And then I want to broaden discussion in general to see generally, again, and it's Tipa Sheva Yam, there's so much literature on this in Rishonim, especially in the Tshuva Svarim, but we can't do it all. But just to get a sense of the broader issues of how this is applied, what has to happen, how many people have to know, these things or that, and if we have even time, even though we have discussed this in the Kuda in the past, but just to maybe Messiahim with some of the Marma Kamos that are probably well known to you already anyway, about how any of this is relevant to Zman Hazeh. But before we get to watering down things with Zman Hazeh, we want to know what the halacha is in its most pure form. So let's first start with some of the issues that emerge out of the Mekoshesh itself. There is an astounding Rabbi Akiva Eger. Rabbi Akiva Eger on the page, you don't have to be such a lamlin, it's right there on the page in the Gilyan Hashas, it's the only one there on the page on Ayin Chesmet Beis. Tosfos again says, Moshe didn't know to give him Chenek or to give him Skila. Why? Skila Mechatesi? Avodah Zarah. And the Lashon of Tosfos is, and we know that in general, in the Mamori Chazal that speak about this, they always say, Hamachal Shabbos be Farhesia Dino Kakam, we from Chalva Shabbos in public. Frank Rabbi Kiva Eger Akasha. If that's the case, so we only have a makor for giving skila to someone who's Machal Shabbos, Farhesia. But a guy who sits there chopping up his salad very finely, clipping his nails, turning on the television, pick any malacha d'oraisa you want, lighting your Shabbos candles after tzeis, pick whatever you want on Friday night, not on Saturday night. That's all b'tzina. Yeah, we know the halacha is, of course, you give him skila, there's no two punishments. But says Rabbi Kvager, what's our makor? And he blibes Farachi and he doesn't have an answer. He doesn't understand, how could it be? If this is this whole story of why there's skila, not because Shabbos that's skila, but because Avodah Zarah deserves skila. And we know that Mechal Shabbos right to Zirak Avodah Zarah. Oh, so that's only for Hesia. What about B'tzina? That is the question of Rabbi Kvager. That's you're correct. Of course, it is. That's one of the shilas. Again, we will ask that against Rabbi Kvager in a moment. Okay, but let that. I'm just That's why I said it's an astounding Rabbi Akiva Eiger. If it was easy, then it would just be an easier Rabbi Akiva Eiger. So that's what Rabbi Akiva Eiger says. So there's a variety of answers that we could ask on this. And again, then there's above and beyond, there's just a very difficult assumption that he seems to be making. Number one is that in the Margolias Hayam, in Pardes Yosef, they have the following, I'd say, technical answer, although it's an important technicality in terms of the broader issue, although it's a technicality here, and that is that there are many Rishonim who hold, many Rishonim, that when it comes to Farhesia, it does not need to, it does not mean literally Farhesia. You can have a Betzina that becomes Farhesia. What does that mean? That the Farhesia doesn't mean that there's a public that witnesses the Chil Shabbos, rather there's a public that knows about the Chil Shabbos. And the Raya Gemura for that is the famous Gemara Masechta Sanhedrin, where they ask, "Oi, Esther, for Hesya Havya? So, what do you think was happening? It was 1,000 voyeurs, Chalila, in Achashverosh's bedroom? Of course not. That's not what it meant. It meant that everyone knows that Esther's married to Achashverosh. So he had a whole lot of other wives too, maybe, but this was his favorite, and they lived as husband and wife. Esther before Hesya Havya. So the Rishonim say, you see from this, as long as, let's say for now we'll call it a minion of people, as long as people know, it becomes public knowledge, even if the act was done b'tzina. So that could be the answer they say. It's very easy to Rabbi Akiva Eiger's question. How do we ever have this on Achil Shabbos, on a Achil Shabbos b'tzina, how do we ever kill somebody? Say simply, and minimally, if we're talking about a death penalty, what are we talking about? There were two witnesses. There were two witnesses. There was a Bezdin of Chav Gimel. We're already up to
Chav Gimel. We find that afterwards.
No, but they're paskining. The Shaila is, are we going to kill him or not? The Shaila is, are we going to kill him or not? So, Memela, by then, it's words out, by definition. Yet, you're starting at least with 25 people. You would not have killed him until at least 25 people knew. And I don't know, but in Klaisel, they have closed courtrooms. I'm not sure. They left a closed circuit TV in there. It's a piece of C-SPAN. I don't know. But it's hard to even imagine that it's only 25. But he says, that's what he says. Minimally 25 people. Now, it's not such an exciting answer, but that's the first answer. That's one possibility. Rabbi Chanan Wasserman in the Kovach Shurim in Baba Basra, where this Tosfos also, this Tosfos is also Baba Basra, Taf Kuf Yutes. Rabbi Chanan says that you're misunderstanding. You're misunderstanding what's going on. The Pasuk says about Chil Shabbos, most Yumas. And it doesn't distinguish between public, private, most Yumas. So we know that Chil Shabbos has one punishment, whether you do it in public or you do it in private. So it's impossible to split. So what, in essence, Tosfos was asking, says Rabbi Chanan, is we're going to have to go all the way. Either it'll all be Skila or all be Chenek. But we don't know which one it will be. After all, because the public one deserves Skila because it's like Avodah Zarah, so then maybe they should both be Skila, else most Yumas is one din. In other words, it was never a Havamin of Tosfos that you would have split it. What it meant is, since most Yumas binds them together, do we take into account the equivalency of Avodah Zarah to schlep along Tzina with it as well? Again, not an exciting answer, but that's Rabbi Chanan's suggestion. The Kli Chemda in Parshas Pinchas has a discussion of this, also makes a possibility. But the whole discussion is very, very difficult. I saw the Sefer that Sean Kelman not only told me about, and I was able to get at least two volumes, I'm not sure if there are more volumes, called Zahav Mordechai, and that's by Rabbi Elephant, the legendary personality in Eretz Yisrael. He started Itri, he started many yeshivas. I think his title now is Rosh Yeshivas Itri, I think. But I think he's had other titles, maybe he has more titles now. He's one of the real tumulters. Anyway, he has a nice sefer of halachos on the parsha, but Shalom Kalman strongly recommended, and I figured if Shalom Kalman recommended, that's a good endorsement for me. So I bought whatever two copies Shabbos was able to get to me, but I never had a chance to use it. I've never found something that I wanted to use. So he talks about this, and he asks your question, Brasha Kivanta. He asks your question, he asks a few questions, but one of the questions he asks on Rabbi Akiva Eiger doesn't make any sense. Avodah Zarah, which is the model, there's no distinction between Farhesia and Tzina. Of course, if you do Avodah Zarah Tzina, of course you're Chayiv, Misa. The other point he makes, which I think is a good one, is as I naturally told over Rabbi Akiva Eiger to you, and I think he makes this point as well, and I think he's on solid ground, the whole assumption of Rabbi Akiva Eiger is that the Avodah Zarah Shabo is what's going to be Goreim the Chayiv Misa. This is the skila, excuse me, the skila. And therefore, since that's only relevant before Hesia, what do we do about But he says, it's hard to, do you ever get an impression that the skila for Chil Shabbos is because of Avodah Zarah? As whatever this pitgam, whatever this saying means, which we'll have to try to see what else it means, of Chil Shabbos v'Esya, Dino, Kovei Avodah Zarah, Dino Akum, does that really mean that we know which box are we checking off? We're checking off the Avodah Zarah box? He did Chil Shabbos. That's the Avera. It's called Chil Shabbos for a reason. There's some comparison on some level, apparently, to Avodah Zarah, but that doesn't mean that it is Avodah Zarah. So why would you imagine, again, Rabbi Kivager is taking it so far. Now again, you could say that even Tosfos already made that jump, so it would be maybe, but I think Tosfos was, in of itself, was open interpretation. Rabbi Kivager takes it, I don't know if literally is the right word, but in such a limited, narrow, if not literal sense, that he said, that's another shayla he asks.
At one point, then, I'm calling me yeah. Mm-hmm.
Is that right?
Because Avodah Zarah is like, you know, the...
I see, that's the model.
That's the model. You're...
Okay, maybe. Okay, maybe. Maybe. I hear.
Avodah Zarah of any shape or form.
I hear. Okay. Anyway, I want to point out just one more kind of local issue. Or one or two, and then we'll get to some of the broader issues. And that is at the end of the parsha. There's a second Rashi that's very, very relevant to this. It's a weird thing. At the end of the Rashi, if you've done Shnei Mechar Efer Targum yet, you know what I'm saying. And if you look surprised, apparently you haven't finished yet. At the end of Rashi and the parsha, even though he's already done with the Psukim, he says he has this chibur, this Nesor that he has, this text that he has from Rav Moshe Hadarshan. Which he actually collects things which go back. It's not just relevant to the last pasuk. He's going back to things like Nekoshesh, even though he's speaking at the end after the parsha of Tzitzis. So he says here, when we sodo shori Moshe Darshan hitakti, from a treatise, from a notebook, or some tradition of teaching of Moshe Darshan, I have the following Mesora. Loma nismecha parshas Mekoshesh, the parshas of Avodah Zarah. Right, we mentioned that after Mekoshesh comes Tzitzis. Before Mekoshesh becomes Megadev, comes... What's a good translation of that?
Blasphemy.
That's the word I was looking for. Thank you. So, Lomanis v'kaparshin v'kosher the parsha of Avodah Zarah. So he answers, Shamachal as a Shabbos ka'oved Avodah Zarah. So you don't have to go to Sanhedrin to get this klal. It's already in Rashi, just a few psukim after the initial Rashi that we started with. But here's the point. What is the Moshe Rabbeinu Moshe Darshan say? Why is it? Sha'av hi ka'oved Avodah Zarah. Why? Shekula kechol hamitzvos, because Avodah Zarah and Shabbos are both shekula lekol hamitzvos. Doesn't mean if you worship them, you don't have to worship the other 6, 11. But somehow, in keeping and fulfilling in the asay of Shabbos and in the los asay of Avodah Zarah, in keeping those mitzvos, it's as if it's tantamount to fulfilling the whole Torah. They're shekula keneged hamitzvos. In fact, he brings you a raya, not from some favor from a medrash. He brings you a raya from a pasuk in the Navi Ezra. When Ezra is decrying the terrible assimilation and problems of his generation, Ezra specifically talks about, he's getting on the mountain, he's giving his Bekirov speech, and of all the mitzvahs that Moshe is, that Ezra is screaming about, he singles out Avodah Zarah and Shabbos. Why those two? So says Moshe Darshan, you see from Apostle Kenavi, that apparently those are equivalent to the whole Torah, which they weren't keeping any of it. That's what Rav Moshe Darshan says from Rashi. Furthermore, if you take a look at the Mizrahi here on this Rashi, back on Daf, which Rashi is it? It's on Pasuk Lamed Dalet, a little bit earlier. But this Rashi, and the Mizrahi, and the Guri Aryeh, the Maral, so they argue, there's a point, you see they're arguing with each other. But one point emerges, and that is that they both more or less hold of this almost, I'll call it arbitrary comparison. It's not a thematic comparison. Right? They're both shakul keneged kaltar kula. Or there's a gzer shava between them. But that's it. They're both significant. There's a chumra, so to speak, of both of them. So in that sense, they're the two paradigmatic mitzvahs, which are shkula keneged kaltar kula. But not more than that. Why am I stressing not more than that? And first of all, and one more point. If you take a look at the last Rambam in Hilchos Shabbos, Perek Lamed, Halacha Tezvav, he more or less makes, again, that point as well. The Shabbos is a special oath that Hashem gave. It's a special gift, and it's so strict. The only thing that's as strict and severe and as important as this is Avodah Zarah. Similar idea. They are both very important. They're both very strict. All of this should be contrasted, I think. I hope I'm not making a man out of a moho, but I think it could be contrasted with the famous Rashi and Chulin and Daf Hei, and the Tosfos that I alluded to before, because they both go one step further, and they provide a thematic connection between Avodah Zarah and between Shabbos. As Rashi says in his famous formulation, someone who's Ovi Avodah Zarah is kofar in Hashem, someone who's Mechal Shabbos is kofar b'ma'asav. Ma'asav meaning ma'asav b'reishis. So there's a shtickle, there's a certain kfira in Chil Shabbos. It's not just that you cut the grass, it's that you're denying a tenet of faith. Again, I could be wrong, and I'm not saying that this, like, this wouldn't accept such a concept, but as far as I read it, if you will, the Rambam, the Kriyarie, the Mizrahi, when they brought down this idea, they never made that point. And it could be that we'll see a nafkamina from those from that. A very interesting question, which also very much may relate to the Mekoshesh. A very interesting kula, a huge kula. The Beis Yosef quotes from the Taj Beitz and the Itur that they hold that this halacha is severely limited. When we say that someone who's Mechal Shabbos is Dino Kavodah Zarah, that's only if someone's Mechal Shabbos Ba'avodas Karka, working the land. So you have a few possible malachas. Ma'amer is obviously one. Choresh, Zoreya, Kotzer, I guess. Anymore? You're working the land, so then you're Chal Shabbos for Hesia, Dino Ka'akum, Dino Ka'avodah Zarah. But if you pick any of the other 35, 34 malachas, you're not going to get them after Yonah. Not. But you're not. One thing you're not, Dino Ka'avodah Zarah. Avada. But it's not Dino Kavodah Zarah. Now, what does that mean? I assume yes. But the reason I say this is because there's a lot of chumras, including Bizmanenu.
How can it not be? That's what the malachos are.
And that's the same issue.
But if you say it when he was carrying, then that would...
Oh, we're going to get to it. Very good. Eli was Mechavin. Very good. Hold off one second. You're also Mechavin to Rabbi Elephant. Hold off one second. What you're asking was what? How about the story?
No, how could you not think that if it's a malacha that's not related to karka, that you're not chayav skila?
Oh, so you're saying like tosis. Like, I mean, that was again my instinct to Sam, and it's the same thing you're saying. In essence, is unpackaging what tosis has said, which is of course there's one punishment for all chil Shabbos, but yet you'll say. But what Sam was asking very well was, but if they hold it that you don't have the din of kovod avodah zarah. So again, you were asking Rabbi Kibeger's kasha. That's not a bad way to go, Sam. And you continue our theme of, multi-year theme, that those who sponsor, ask good questions. We've seen this many, many a time. Whereas Louis, we've had a few famous examples where people have been on their game the night that they sponsored. Let that be a lesson to you. But even though we all know Sam's always on his game. But anyway, so you're Mechavet Rabbi Kibeger. But again, I think the answer is, as we've been saying, I was like, it's Rabbi Chon and others, no one held that there was two separate Mechavim. So you'll say, then what's the Nafkamina, which is really what you were getting at? If you're going to tell me that they're not having the status...
Yeah, there's other Nafkaminas.
Good, exactly. So you pronounced exactly what I was going to say, which is that, especially with Manenu, where we're not even giving the death penalty, it's still relevant. So even if you'll tell, whatever, it's still relevant. Just make the distinction between them. So if you're going to say, for example, I mentioned the Gemara Chulin. There's two primary places in the Shas. I'll get to the second one in a moment. But the Gemara Chulin is one of the famous ones. Gemara Chulin says, even if you have a perfectly kosher animal, shechted perfectly, but the shochet is a Mechal Shabbos, so it's an avela, it's treif, you can't eat it. So the shaila would be, nowadays, you have a guy who is Mechal Shabbos every time he, I don't know, pick a malacha, bishul. He likes a freshly cooked, he has a Shabbos meal even, but it has to be freshly cooked, the covered Shabbos. So he cooks the Shabbos meal every Shabbos. So he's a Michal Shabbos. And you'll say it's before Hesio, everyone knows about it, because he's famous. Go see Goldberg, who's cooking every meal of Shabbos. He became an eccentric. Everyone knows about him. It's part of the trip. You come to Baltimore for Shabbos, you gotta go see Goldberg, he's cooking his meal. So it's before Hesio. So according to the Yitter, he could still be a Shochet. I don't know if the Sarkei would hire him, but he could still be a Shochet. Because the halacha of Dino Ka'akum, which would puzzle the Shechita, It's not true about him because he's not working the land. It's only the avodas karka. So, of course, this begs the obvious question. Why would you say such a thing? Why would you make that seemingly arbitrary chiluk and say only those malachos and none others? So there's a variety of different answers. Rav Avadya Yosef gives an answer which if it's right, is good, but it's hard for me to believe it's right. Rav Avadya Yosef says what it really means is that's a way of saying it's before Hesia. In other words, if I did my chicken, so maybe who knows about that, that's in private. But if I'm working the land, I'm cutting the grass every day, every Shabbos, I'm out in the land, I'm trimming the trees, that's what it meant, it's before Hesia.
There's also another
difference. Okay, so good. What other answers do you want to give?
All from the same vein. In other words, if someone wants to cook something, somebody wants to. So let's say Yitzhak to get something. I don't know that anyone has a taiva. I don't know that anyone has a taiva to work the land. When you're working there, that's like.
But I'll tell you why that's. I hear what you're saying. The problem with that is that there's many other malachas, which is also no taiva for. And yet they still, according to them, it would still be left out. Fred, I want to weave. That could be for a woman, maybe. A bubby.
Maybe that's what the scribe for the masa, because if the masa is the art.
Oh, hold on. Okay, you're machat. We have a pattern, Sam. You don't mess with patterns. And you are correct. You have a second good comment. You are Mechavan, not, and I don't know if you could ever say about anybody ever. He was more brilliant than the Rukiv Eger, but another one of our geniuses we'll get to in a second. So the Chazam Sofer has a second answer. The Chazam Sofer in the Likutei Chuvas says, listen, and this is why I mentioned to you the different models of the Limud. Is it the Svara of Rashi and Tosfos that it's a Kfira? Or is it, no, this kind of Drosha, the Smichas to Avodah Zarah? Says the Chasam Sofer, it's connected. That's irrelevant. That's not the mountain out of a molehill. That's irrelevant. That's not just drush. That's real. Why? Because maybe that's what the Yitzhar and the Tajbites are holding. That since we only learn it from the Smichos to Avodah Zarah, so it's a real Kiddush. Why would you ever have thought that Shabbos ended with Avodah Zarah? Oh, there's a Smichos in the end of Parshas Shlach. If that's the case, and since it's Mekoshes Eitzim, it was Avodah Karka, El Chabal Chidusho, only people who also owe doing what is karka. So Rav Elephant is medayik, and Eli was mechavin to it, that only works for two out of the three shitas about what the malacha was. If he was doing tolesh, or if he was doing ma'amer, so then that taka works with the Chasam Sofer. But according to that Tana, I forget which one it was, who said that it was ma'aver da'aram, which was a rabim, so that's not malacha's karka, because he's schlepping branches, and not schlepping books. That's got nothing to do with karka. And therefore, this answer of Chasam Sofer, even if it's true, but it could only be true according to those shitas, it cannot be true according to all. And taking that, but again, still not such a geshmaka answer of the Tosfos. Okay, but it's a different answer. That's a different answer. Yeah, that is what Rav Avadya Yosef said. But something that takes it, I think it's building on the Chasam Sofer, or at least similar, but giving a little bit more time, is that what Sam was mechavin to, and that's from the Heichel Yitzchak, Rav Herzog. Now, when I said that he's such a genius, again, I love his farm too, but it happens to be that just recently someone was telling me, I don't want to provide the context, certainly not when we're being taped on the internet, but we'll talk about a particular conversation that they had with Rav Ruderman. Rav Ruderman was very close with, and Mamish held of Rav Herzog tremendously, and spoke about how he was Mamish, one of the geniuses of the door. He said more colorful things even, but I'll leave it at that. Lamaisa, he was, for those who knew him, he was known as not just a Talmid Chacham, but really, really a genius. So Rav Herzog said the following, again, Sam was Mechavin, that really, based on this idea, going back to Rashi, that what's the Kfira? The Kfira is in Maisa Bereishis. So therefore, the Malacha has to be in the Maisa Bereishis, i.e., in the Karka. If you're doing things with things which are manufactured, which again, that's still Chil Shabbos, but that's already things that are secondary. Those have been created, not Yesh Me'ayin, but Yesh Me'yesh. Only if you're taking things that are created, Yesh Me'ayin, i.e. the Karka itself, so that is Kfira B'maisav. It's Mamish, or Rav Herzog, and Sam was Mechavin too. Okay, so Adkan, we have 15 minutes left. Adkan, just a lot of interesting halachos in this vein, which Mamish emerge from this discussion of the Mekoshets. Now I want to... Sure. Oh no, there's such a thing. No, but you're saying I didn't understand what you're asking me. If someone is a mumer l'chal Shabbos, but he's only good with teyavon, does he not have the chumras? No, I think he does have the chumras. No, but I think I could be wrong. My impression is.
There's a day that mumer is a min.
But my point is, I don't know if that makes a difference for Chalosh. In other words, this halacha, I don't know. I think, I could be wrong, I think that the operative factor is the Farhesia. So even if you'll tell me it's Lataiva, Latavon, but as long as it's Farhesia, my impression.
I don't think that's a distinction.
Okay, so Alan agrees with me. I'm not sure, but I think, like Alan said, I think that the issue is, I answered you too quickly. I really should have said no, not yes. I think that that's not a relevant factor for Chol Shabbos. So let's just discuss again some of the broader, very relevant, very important issues, because again, we won't have a chance to sew up all the loose ends, but clearly there's a lot of nafkaminas l'hamaisa which need to be addressed. I mentioned there's a Gemara in Chulin that talks about Shechita. The other famous, important Shas Makor is the Gemara in Erevin and Daf Samach Tes, which has to do with the Erev, and you have to do what's called, right, if you have a guy in the area, you have to do what's called Schiras Rashus. The guy can't be part of the Erev, and if you want to be able to carry in that area, if he's one of the people living there, you need what's called Schiras Rashus. So there's a Machlokas in Gemara in Erevin. What about if you have a Machal Shabbos for Hesia living in the neighborhood? So are you? Does that count for the Erev? Or do you have to do Skiras Rashus? It's a machlokas in the Gemara, but the Gemara seems to imply, and in fact, that's how Rav Rishonim and how Shulchan Aruch Paskin, that in fact we say, a Chal Shabbos for Hesia, Dino Ka'akum, and therefore you'd have to do Skiras Rashus from him also, and he himself otherwise would be Mevatel the Erev. He would nullify the Erev. It would be a problem. The Darkei Tshuva in Yeredeya in the Hilchos Shechita realm in Siman Beis, he quotes a machlokas, again, just to show you the seriousness of this, not per se an afkamina from it, but he quotes a machlokas whether this is really a bona fide halacha, this drasha, the smichas and parsha shlach, is this a din d'oraisa, so to speak, a status, that on some level the Torah already gives you such a status, or was this just a chumrah midrabana and maybe to be marchikas from you, or things like that. And he quotes that Darkei Tshuva, that's the Munkat Shadayin, he quotes two deis. But more importantly, and more in terms of how do we apply this with potentially people that we know and love, in many cases, so important few halachas to mention. Number one, the Bir Halacha says in Siman Shin Pei Hei that this is all only true if this is done b'mezid, u'befrikas ol. Rebellious, and that's a little bit what Joel said, but again, I guess it depends on whether you want to weigh the mezid or the frikas ol. And mezid could be the teavon. Mezid does something, but he does add, to be honest, if I'm not mistaken, I think he adds Frikazol. And the Chazon Ish, famously in his piece, he has two pieces in Yoredei, which are famous about this nowadays. Chazon Ish and Siman Beis, Beferish agrees with this, that anyone who's doing Leteavon, it's just anyone who's doing Leteavon, forget the other points, which we'll get to from Chazon Ish, but anyone who's doing Leteavon, it's not, excuse me, I'm sorry. Anyone who's doing it Peshogeg, and not Bemezid, says the Chazon Ish. So he is, he does not have this terrible stigma. Secondly, there's a very interesting machlokas between a number of Rishonim on the one hand, and the Shach and some Rishonim on the other hand. Does this apply the first time someone is Machal Shabbos? Or is this only if someone is a serial or regular violator of Shabbos? I may have mentioned in some context, one of my most shocking and absolutely depressing rabbinic experiences was when someone who certainly then was a member, I'm not sure if they kept up the membership or not, walked into my office like, can I have a meeting with you, Rabbi? I'm struggling with something. Okay, I mean, almost anything that could have come out, I wouldn't have been shocked. This is a person davening, tilling, towels over the head, tells me, you know, I've been to Machal Shabbos a few times. What do you mean? Yeah, Shabbos afternoon, I needed to go somewhere. I could have walked, but I don't know, I just decided to drive. I mean, we're talking about kajillions of malachos d'araisa. He had done it already a few times, two or three times at least, I think, when he came to me. I fell off the chair. So, but the bottom line is, it wasn't perigilus, but, you know, but depending on our definition, it certainly could have been called already before Hesia. Maybe, because I don't think anyone else yet knew about it. So maybe it's not yet before Hesia. But he certainly was not perigilus, at least then. I don't know where he is now. So, Tosfos and others hold that that's not called Dinuk Akum yet. Because he did it once, did it twice. Now you ask me, where is the line between Regulus and Ad Hoc? I don't know. But Tosfos says it has to be Regulus, just once or twice, maybe three times would not be sufficient. The Chuv for sure does, but this is without Chuv even. Because even if you didn't do Chuv, but if it's only once or twice, so then you're not going to have this terrible stigma. However, the Shach And he quote, there seem to be some Rishonim who agree with the Shach. The Shach holds, no, even doing it once is already enough. And the Mishnah Berurah quotes two days, but then later in the Bir Halacha, he seems to hold like that Shach, he's Machmir. So if you do it even one time, we seem to be Machmir against us, just one time, you already have Dino Kakum. Now that very much raises the stakes and the importance on the next question, which I alluded to before, which is Vos Mentos Farhesia. How do you define Farhesia here? To take the guy I'm referring to, for example, by definition, any number of people saw him driving down the street, as far as he knew then, none of his family knew, he didn't think anyone else from knew, what counts as Farhesia? That was the light of day, Shabbos afternoon. This is a major machlokes with major nafkaminas.
If you were shocked about this person, and everyone else who sees him says, okay, now you're going to the hospital, let's go to the emergency.
No, I don't know if anyone saw him.
I'm not saying, well, you'd saw that might not also be, in other words, that's why Regula...
Kenzai? They're connected. Yeah, I want you to know something. More recently, I don't know, not from our shul or anything, but I was standing at the corner of Willow Glen and Green Spring, and I'm, you know, I was about to, like, blindly jaywalk. And then, you know, thankfully, out of my right eye, I saw Taka, there was a car there. So I looked just to see, you know, was he going? Am I going? And I look in, and there's a guy in a hat, just in the tittle. What are you doing here? And then I saw Joel in the back seat. They're going to the hospital. They're going to have a baby. But they looked at me, and I could see their heart sink. Like if this is a girl, there ain't no shit happening for this one. I said, don't worry, it's okay, Mazel Tov. I started screaming Mazel Tov. I didn't want them to think that I was Choshe then. But I was for a millisecond. I almost had to keep my wits. But, Enechanami. But if I saw them again, what are the odds? Especially 2 weeks later. 2 weeks later. I don't know. I don't think the modern medicine has figured that one out yet. So what's Farhesia? So the Prima Gadim, and the Mishnah Berurah quotes this, and others say that we have to be very machmir. We have to be very machmir, going back to something I mentioned in the beginning of the shiur from Esther, that as long as people know about it, they don't have to see it, but as word gets out, again, I'm not talking about necessarily my guy, but some, the word had gotten out. Did you know that Ploni is being Machal Shabbos? Could you imagine you drove on Shabbos? Even once. But what if it got out? And not as a rumor that he was denying, let's say. But no, everyone knew. It became known. Even if they didn't see it, but that's already Esther for Hesias, it's equivalent. And therefore, we'd have to be machmir already to treat this person as a Machal Shabbos. If you assume that that's the case, or Stamazai, either way, who needs to know? So, is it a halachic minion? So, most poskim assume that. There are some poskim who say it could be 10 women. Also, already a problem.
If they didn't see it, how could it be in Kabbalah? I mean, you know, it's a little slice there.
If you question Haram.
But, you know.
Not so from.
One woman saw it, or people.
Yeah, is it possible that Farhesia in this situation means that it was his willingness to be seen rather than if people actually saw him? If you think about it.
Yes, yeah, well, wait.
Is his spirit, is what his.
Maybe. We'll have to see if we can rely. We're going to go with Bimachmer like Esther. But hold that thought. I think there's a Mishnah Berurah that's not identical to what you're saying, but it's in the same vein.
Even with Kabbalah, it's Flesh and Hara.
That halacha is not, as someone once said, Dan Lekav Shchus, not Dan Lekav Shtus. That does not mean that we don't assume, how could you Makabal anything? But they're going to come into Bez and I'm going to tell you something. It's Flesh and Hara. Like, that's the usual, again, I know you didn't mean it this way, but I can't help but saying that that's the usual, you know, so-and-so is beating his wife. Ah, I can't be Makabal, it's Lashon Hara. Don't do anything about it. You can't call the police, it's Lashon Hara. How'd you call the police with Makabal Lashon Hara?
I'm not talking about rumors.
The post can specifically say that if it's just a kol or a shmua, that's not the same thing as Esther before Hesia Havya. That's not the same thing. So there's a difference between knowing and rumors. You'll ask me, what's the difference? I say, ask your wife. They'll tell you. Furthermore, there's a Chubas Beis Av who's so machmir, again, within this shita, he holds from a Jerisha, even Goyim. Even, forget from, not from Jews, even Goyim. He would be machmir. If Goyim knew, that'd be already sufficient. Although the Igros Moshe and others point out that we don't have really any, there's one Makor Drisha for this, but we don't seem to accept such a Chumrah. Potentially, yes. I didn't get to that. Malama Lahoyle, the Rav David Tzvi Hoffman, he is on the other extreme. He is mekil that the 10 have to not only be Jewish, but they have to be Shomrei Torah. So 10 Mechalei Shabbos Siyu, then that doesn't mean anything. But again, the Igros Moshe is a little bit more machmer. He thinks that that heter is a little bit too far. But Rav Moshe himself takes care of it, because Rav Moshe has a bigger kula which takes care of almost everything. And this is not, as far as I know, not such a well-known Rav Moshe. Rav Moshe says the following. He says, listen, and this is not Timush Nishma. Listen carefully. He says, listen, nowadays, why are people, how philosophical are people really? There aren't that many more Spinozas. Right? People have been Michal Shabbos for Taiva. He assumes generally, especially he's talking to this tshuva and the first generation of immigrants, right? Taiva's moment, they got to work. So he says they're going to shul, they're making Kiddush Friday night, and then they're going to work. So could you say that he's Kofar Bikr, that he doesn't accept Hashem's Kofar B'Masa? Of course he believes it is. But what can I do? I got to work. I got to make money. So therefore, says Rav Moshe, even though he knows better, even though everybody knows about it, he still, Bezman Hazeh, would not be considered a Mumer, or a Kofar B'Torah Kula, Kofar Dina Kofar Zara, Mechal Shabbos
or Hesya.
What is based on, clearly, is Rashi and Tosus. If you assume that the Lomdus is all based on Yisadev Kfira, so here we have an Umdun of the Muchuk that he's not Kofar, he's just an Avarian. So as long as you're just an Avarian and not a Kofar, so then we're not going to throw the book at you as a Mechal Shabbos before Hesya. That's the significant heter of Rav Moshe, which is an important heter if you accept it, because then you do not need to come on to the even bigger heterim or bigger kulas and chidushim that people throw around with Tinuk Shenishba, especially since not everyone is a Tinuk Shenishba, frankly. So here, if you have people like this, and there are plenty of people like this, it's a dwindling population. It was in the Tay Day when Rav Moshe wrote the Shuvah, and it still exists. It still may exist even in a shul or two in Baltimore, but it's a dwindling population, for better or for worse. But that's what Rav Moshe is talking about. That's exactly what Rav Moshe is talking about. So you don't have that many people. You don't have that social reality anymore, but there are people in that category. Now, all of this should be separated from a whole other group of poskim, a smaller group, but a group of poskim, who have a completely different approach to the whole idea of Bafar Hesya, which is by far more makel to begin with. And that is the Darkei Tshuva and Rav Chaim Ozer, the Achiezer, and they hold that for whatever reason, we don't have time to get into it, that idea that as long as people know about it is already a problem, that was only for Kiddush Hashem, that was only by Esther. But you cannot apply it to Mechal Shabbos for Hesya Dino Ka'akum, Dino Kavodah Zara. There you need mamish 10 people to see. And then you can start being done. Is it 10 men? Is it 10 women? Is it 10 from Jews? Is it 10 Jews? And obviously there you're going to have much more room to play with, because it's possible that a person can be Mechal Shabbos many times and not have people actually witnessing it, as opposed to people knowing about it, is certainly going to be something that's more likely. Another issue that's very, very important, this is, I think, what you may have been alluding to. The Gemara in Erevin has a very, and not in specifically, but the same Svar, Barry, the Gemara in Erevin has a fascinating line, or in this context it says, there was a guy who was doing Hotzah, he was carrying a certain jewel or something that you couldn't carry, he was doing Hotzah, and then he saw Yehuda Nesiyah, and he put it under his jacket. He was embarrassed because he saw the Rav. So I don't know if it's the Gemara, as the narrator of Yehuda Nesiyah himself said, this person is still kosher for the Erev. He's walking mamish through the streets, the Rabbanim see him, everyone knows this is Mechal Shabbos, but the fact that he's embarrassed, that already shows on some level that he's not totally kofar. There's a certain level of guilt. So again, this may be a little bit what Barry was alluding to, which is, huh? Right, but again, but I think there's a point there that which is salient, which is that it's not that I'm looking to make a statement or that I want everyone to know what I'm doing. In fact, I may even be embarrassed about what I'm doing. I thought that's how I interpreted what you were asking, and that's certainly in the Mishnah Berurah passing this. One final kula, which we don't really accept, but it's quoted, the Ma'ari Asad says, and Rabbi Kivagar seems to maybe be mashing like this, but it's hard to believe it's such a big kula, and no other post can quote this, that it's only true if there was Eidus in Beis Din. This would get back to Alan's point. Right? You can't, we're not going by rumors, we're not going by Lashon Hara, we're not going by I know, I saw. Who are you? You're nobody. Go mind your own business and go to Shul and Davin. Two witnesses came, Imamish, so it was a legal case. Whether we killed them or not, but Lamai said we have real, you know, protocols and beds and not just rumors and, you know, blogs. And okay, I had to say that. So then, says the Maria Asad, he was Mechavin. I was Bamashma that if they said on the blogs, you know it's true. I just to say you can act on it. But I'm just kidding. I do not take it out of context. But anyway, the Maria says, only if you have a formal Kabbalah in Beis Din, is it true? It's not true in any other context. Again, I don't know if you would accept such a kula, but if you were Machal Shabbos, you would want the Bezin to be Rav Mari Asad, because the Rav in town, because that's a big kula. Let me just mention quickly, it's a little bit late, but let me just mention quickly just the idea of Bezman Hazeh. So Bezman Hazeh is typically dated to the Malamed Lahoel. The Malamed Lahoel, as far as I know, is the first major, major heavyweight posek who basically said nowadays everything's different. All bets are off. And then everything we said until now was nice Torah Lishma, but not relevant Lamaisa, because given the overwhelming breakdown with reform, et cetera, so people don't know any better, therefore they're not rebelling. Again, it's all based, it's important to remember where this comes from. This is not Stam Rabbi looking to be nice. It all based on Rashi and Tosfos, which may or may not be like the Rambam and others, but Rashi does hold that there's a rationale to this, that in essence, Chil Shabbos is a Kfira. It says, well, but nowadays, Nebuch, people don't know anything. And therefore, it's not a Nebuch, it's not Nebuch. So the Malamed Lahoel is an immediate context of whether they can count for a minion or not. But not everyone agrees with his psak about minion. But Lamaisa, in the general idea, but it's quoted, Mishnah Berurah quotes this, Aliyahs, all the Nafkaminas that you can imagine potentially may flow from this Malamed Lahoel, which many, many other posts can quote. Perhaps the two most well-known ones, Bizmanenu, both out of Eretz Yisrael. The most well-known, of course, certainly in all circles, is the Chazon Ish. He mentions it in two different simonim in Yoredeya, where he makes it clear. He adds other things. His other kulas also Chazon Ish. The Gemara says that Bezman Hazeh, we don't know how to give tochacha. So he says every single person, by definition, nowadays, is an onus. Or at the very least, a shogei. But he even says, I think he even says it's maybe an onus. Because it doesn't matter how many times the rabbi screamed at them, and how many times the brother really told them, don't drive on Shabbos. But Bezmanenu, we're not allowed b'nei tochacha ninhu, and therefore it's always considered not knowing, so to speak. Plus, he says, nowadays we don't have the Nisim Galuyim, and then you throw in multi-generations of reform, and therefore he is Mekel, again, not to see Michal Shabbos, but we don't throw the book at them. And one other one, which is, I think, maybe even a bigger Kiddush, and obviously in certain circles in Eretz Yisrael is just as well known, if not more well known, is that Rav Kook has a number of very powerful letters which are halachic in nature, very powerful letters, and he writes in his typical, beautiful, beautiful poetic style. But one of the things which he says, which may even go further, I'm not saying the Chazon Ish disagree with it, but I don't know if he said it, that Rav Kook paskins the reality of the zeitgeist. He paskins the reality of peer pressure, of social climate. And Rav Kook says, even if you'll tell me, you know, the Chazon Ish and others, what we usually understand them is, this is someone who grew up from non-from parents or reform parents, they didn't know better. Rav Kook certainly agrees with that. Rav Kook seems to go so far as to say that if you're living at a time, and again, the question is now, what's the time? Maybe the winds are more traditional now. But when he was writing, if the winds of change, whether it was in Europe or certainly in the beginning of the earlier times, he was in Eretz Yisrael, where everything was this progressive secularism and we're, you know, no longer in the ghetto and we're no longer these Eastern European Jews, we're breaking free. So he says that itself is an onus. Onus, Aleph, Vav, Nun, Saf. He says that itself, Samach, I should say, right? Yeah, that itself is an onus. I'll just give you the Lashon, what does he call it? Zerem Hazman. Zerem Hazman. The winds of the time, right? Basically the zeitgeist. Heim anusim gemurim, v'chalil lanu lo dun onus keratzon. Right? They're not honest. What are they supposed to do? The whole world is Michal Shabbos. The whole world is throwing the tefillin into the water. How could you blame anyone who couldn't resist that? So whether one would go so far or not, whether even that's still true in the current social milieu, I don't know. But again, all of this goes back to, again, Rav Kook wasn't saying that it's mutter. What he was saying is, of course not. What he was saying is that these extra stigmas or these extra chumers that we place on them, again, all going back to the Rashi that we saw, which may all relate to our Parsha, all therefore lead to a pulling the rug out from all of the chumras and Nebuch having to be Mekel given the social concerns. Halavai, we should have only Shmir Shabbos.